You need an introduction?
Good morning, class.
Good morning, sir.
Teacher, Mrs. Lander.
For all of y'all that have joined us within the last 3 weeks, my name is on the wall out there. I'm the official teacher of this class. But, no, I'm not the official teacher of this class. Who is the real teacher of this class?
The Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Yeah, y'all got it. Okay, Holy Spirit. So, just pray the Holy Spirit would lead us today. We're studying the New Testament. Yay! We're in the New Testament now. And the life of Christ, of course, you know, his story is his story, you know. That's possibly where that word came from, was his story. And Jesus is all over the Old Testament, we know that. But now we're in the New Testament, and he's right there in the flesh, in the story that we can see. And inviting a youth pastor today, let me get off the subject like I always do. Inviting as a call of a youth pastor, and this lesson is like amazing, isn't it? Like God, like it's amazing how we synchronize our class with what's going on in the main service, because basically we're going to study about Jesus and his youth group today. Okay, think about that. And I want y'all to think about, I want you to transfer some principles of what was going on in Jesus' life when he was 12 years old in the temple, listening to the elders. And also, he had, because Jesus was sinless and he wasn't held back by sin, and he had the Holy Spirit from the beginning, okay, which a lot of us didn't have the luxury of. I personally came to the Lord when I was 12 years old also, so 12, and 12 is an age of bar mitzvah in the Jewish faith, and that's where a person would be declared a son of the covenant. Actually, he was declared the son of the covenant when he got circumcised, but he was declared a full adult at 12 years old, and he could sit with the elders and actually discuss the scriptures with them, and God, and what God meant, and what it meant to follow God. And, of course, the great Shema that they would always recite, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And heart, mind, and strength, excuse me, in the Old Testament. Jesus added one, mind, heart, mind, soul, and strength. So when the lawyer asked him about what the great commandments were, so here's Jesus in the temple, and he's so focused. I mean, have you ever seen a 12-year-old this focused?
Right?
What was that?
Video games.
Cartoons.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I asked the wrong question. Have you ever seen a 12-year-old being this focused on God? Yeah, good answer. Yeah. So 12-year-olds can be focused, but, you know, Jesus was focused on the business of his Father. He talked about his Father all the time, and he's our example. So really, Jesus, through his substitutionary sacrifice on the cross, opened up our relationship with God the Father. Okay, that's the way he taught us to pray. The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, okay, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay, he addressed him as Father. Okay, that's the model prayer. Now, sometimes we call it the Lord's Prayer, but that's not the Lord's Prayer, it's the model prayer. That's the prayer he was modeling for the disciples. It's found in Matthew and found in Luke, and I think it's found in Mark, right? Okay, those of y'all that know the Bible better than me. But anyway, so here we have a story from Luke. Now, Luke is a really interesting guy. Luke was like a journalist, and he went around interviewing. And we know from the interesting things, and he brought it out in the lesson, we know from the interesting details in the Gospel of Luke that he must have sat with Mary and interviewed Mary, the mother of Jesus, because he actually recites in Luke, in the early chapter of Luke, I think it's 2, we read that at every Christmas, about the angel Gabriel, who's the archangel of messaging from God, that she was going to have a son who was going to, she was going to be the one who would have the Messiah. So Jesus, this is his time to appear. The wise men knew that he was going to appear at this time because they knew, they understood Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. They understood the timing piece there, and they knew that the Messiah was close. So when they saw the star, they knew that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords was going to come. Remember, Daniel was one of the wise men of Babylon, really a leader of that group. And these wise men had carried that faith that Daniel gave them down, even though they had a lot of Babylonian mystery religion type influences. There were apparently this group that came, and that's what y'all studied. Was it last time? Did y'all study that last week? The wise men coming? Or was that the week before? I forget. Anyway, don't worry about it. So we're studying today Jesus in the temple. Who wants to read our first reading in Luke chapter 2, verses 40 through 47?
The boy grew up and became strong, filled with wisdom, and God's grace was on him. Every year his parents traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom of the festival. After those days were over, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming he was in the traveling party, they went a day's journey. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all those who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers.
Okay, good.
Doc, can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
When I was reading this morning, I'm not trying to read into anything, but on verse 40, it's just filled with wisdom and God's grace was on him. Is this a different kind of grace? That grace is really unmerited favor given by God to man. If Jesus is fully God yet fully man at this point, mm-hmm. why did God give him grace during this time? I guess that's a
very interesting theological question. We should cover that.
Why is that? No, yep. I'm not trying to make something out of nothing. I'm just trying to.
No, I know you're going deep. That's good. We'll put a star on your chart for that. Okay. So in order for God to become a man, what did he have to do? What does the scripture say he had to do? He had to lay aside his divinity, his divine rights and divine power. I mean, God is so omniscient, omnipresent, and
He let us out.
What's the other O? I'm sorry, I'm stuck on it. Y'all come up with it. But these qualities, Jesus is a local, human, fully human manifestation of the Godhead. When one of the disciples asked in John chapter 14, I believe it is, he says, "Okay, Jesus, just show us God." And Jesus said,
we'll believe.
And Jesus said, "You're looking at him. I am he. I am the one who represents God." Okay, but God was willing to condescend to becoming that fertilized egg in Mary's womb that became the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that's why we believe that as soon as that egg is fertilized, it's a human being. And God gives it a spirit, okay? In the case of Jesus, Jesus was alive for eternity. That's Jesus' spirit associated with a human body. So the theology, the correct orthodox theology here, is that Jesus was both fully human and fully God at the same time. And that makes him a worthy sacrifice to die on the cross for us. For God can transfer, he can impute our sins to Jesus. And then when we come to him by faith, he can impute Jesus' righteousness to us. And that process is called justification, just as if we'd never sinned.
Amen.
And that makes us permanently and irreversibly saved. Permanently, forever, irreversibly saved. Okay? Justification. Now, every child of God goes through a sanctification process if he doesn't die early. And that sanctification process is the second step of salvation. Salvation has three steps. Okay, why am I getting off on this? Anyway, you asked, right? Okay, and then the third step is after you die or get raptured, then you get a new body, and it talks about that in, what was that lecture I gave? What book was that? What did we study this year? Colossians, right? Was it Colossians? No.
Timothy?
No, it wasn't Timothy. Before Timothy. There's a verse. I'll come up with it in a minute. It'll come by. Okay. I didn't plan this, so I didn't. Okay. There's a verse that says, someday we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Okay. So that's the third part. That's the third part. That's glorification. That's resurrection bodies. Now, we get all down in the dumps about somebody who's dying. Okay, an open head injury is basically a fatal. I hate to say that. An open head injury on a motorcycle is basically a fatal disease. But when you look at the broader picture, we're all fatal, right? I mean, you know, we're all going to die. If we don't get raptured out of here first, we're going to die. Okay, so. That is salvation right there. So Jesus had to come, get back to your question, Bill. Jesus had to submit himself to the process of coming as a child and growing up, just like we, to be perfectly just like us. So God's grace and favor was upon him as he grew up. He was probably asking the elders questions about the scripture. He was learning about the scripture, okay? Jesus wasn't born instantaneously knowing everything about the Bible. He had to learn. He went through the learning process. And fortunately, his mother and father were godly people. Okay? And that was because God chose a godly woman and a godly man and a godly home for Jesus to be born into. And of course, that was part of the responsibility of parents from the beginning in the Old Testament. They were to teach them standing up, sitting down, lying down, in the morning, in the evening. They were to teach their children about God. And they would be totally focused on that. And I think that probably that was what's going on in Jesus' family. Because when he turned 12 years old, and of course he'd been to the synagogue. Now, for extra credit, y'all tell me who we believe started the synagogue system. We studied that a couple of months ago. He was a priest, came back from exile. We think Ezra started the synagogue system. Now, what was the synagogue system for? This is getting pretty close to the subject. I promise we'll get back on the subject. Well, my Bible's on this machine here. I'm sorry. Pretend this is my Bible. We have a book, a codex. Has pages, that has the Bible. Every one of us has a Bible in our household. If anybody in this room doesn't have a Bible and can't afford a Bible, I'll buy you a Bible, okay? If you don't have a Bible, I'll get you a Bible, okay? You can have it in your house. You can read it every day. Back then, in these days, these scrolls weigh hundreds of pounds. The scroll of Isaiah was massive. You ever seen them carry them around Israel? A couple of strong guys have to carry the scroll around, you know, and they actually have a ceremony like that, a carrying of the Torah scroll. They don't get much past the five books of Moses. Most of them don't study Isaiah because it sounds too much like the New Testament. So they try to avoid Isaiah chapter 53, especially when that's a recounting of Jesus' suffering on the cross. So they had to go to the synagogue. But Jesus was picking this stuff up just like that, okay? He didn't have any sin in his life. He didn't have that sin nature because his father was the father, not Joseph, okay? Joseph was Jesus' stepfather. He wasn't his real father. The real father was God. So he's picking this stuff up, but here this is like, you know how some kids focus on gaming and stuff like that?
Cartoons.
Well, they didn't have cartoons or something. Oh, cartoons was yours, right? Yeah. I used to love Saturday morning cartoons. Yeah, I know what you mean. But this was Jesus's love, was to learn about his father, and here he is in the temple. And he didn't deliberately, and this is covered in the lesson if you read the lesson, he didn't deliberately disobey his parents and stay behind and try to hide out. He was so focused on learning from these elders and teaching the elders. Here's this 12th, he's probably been through his bar mitzvah, I'm guessing. It doesn't say in the scripture, I'm guessing he's been through his bar mitzvah and he's now an adult. And as an adult, this young man at 12 years old can be admitted into the discussion of the things of God with other men. And here he is, surrounded by some older, wiser men who've been studying the scripture, probably rabbis, probably some of them are teachers of the law. And they're amazed at some of his insights. Now, why is that? I'm going to guess here. I'm going to conjecture here, y'all.
Because he was weird. He wasn't normal.
Yes. He was not the normal sinful human being. He was the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So he didn't have all that sin in his way. Okay? And when people saw him, you bet people all the way to the Pharisees called Jesus the devil. Okay? So, I mean, you know, when somebody calls you the devil, then just say, praise God. You know, I'm right in there with Jesus. Okay? So, but anyway, so here he is. And he had probably gotten hold of some of the prophetic scroll. The scroll of Isaiah was the beginning of the prophets. There was the scroll of Moses called the Torah. And then there was the scroll of Isaiah. And Isaiah was just the lead out. It contained the major prophets and the minor prophets. And I think there was a third scroll probably that was the literature scroll, like the Psalms and things like that. And you couldn't put the whole Bible on one scroll. I mean, the whole Old Testament would be way too heavy and way too cumbersome. And by the way, did they have chapter and verse?
No.
They didn't, did they? They didn't have chapter and verse. So how did they find their way through the scroll? Most of these guys had a lot of it memorized. Yeah, the leaders, they would get up there and they would start winding the scroll. Probably took four of them, you know, two men on each handle, you know, to wind through this scroll and say, and, you know, when he was in Nazareth, they wound through the scroll and they came to Isaiah chapter 63. And Jesus got up and he said, okay, Jesus, it's your turn. I mean, you know, this is a God thing. It was ordained, of course. He said, Jesus, come on up here. Read this scroll for us. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to heal the brokenhearted. And then he turned away from the scroll and he spoke to the people and he said, this is in Nazareth now, so remember, these are the people that saw Jesus grow up, okay? You ever go to your hometown and you go to the people that saw you grow up and you say, man, I can remember when you did this, you know? Yeah. So you get no honor, right? I mean, you know, it's said that an expert is somebody that travels at least 50 miles as a sideshow, you know? Then he's an expert. But at home, forget it, right? So, anyway, Jesus here, let's get back to the subject, is in the temple, and he's so engrossed at learning and teaching both ways, and asking questions, that all those who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. So, anyway, it is possible that Jesus, even at this time, may have understood that he was the Messiah.
I saw that, and I think it's always kind of been understood that he had always known who he was.
Yeah.
But, as Bill pointed out, God's grace was upon him. Grace is a gift. And it could, and of course it's not in Hebrew, but the King James calls it grace, but that could be God's favor.
Yeah.
That was kind of, and it could be translated either way. But think about, and I'm not trying to say that he didn't know that he was the Son of God or that he did know the Son of God. I know that it's not coincidental that this picks up at his 12th year because of the bar mitzvah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's specific. But this is one of the few times, well, about the only time it has mm-hmm. anything to do with Jesus mm-hmm. in his youth.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, if Jesus and his parents had been teaching him the Word of God in Nazareth, in the synagogue there, because mm-hmm. this is just taking place once a year mm-hmm. at the Passover here at the Jerusalem
right.
headquarters. So he knew he'd been going to Sunday school and he had been getting mm-hmm. educated.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if he knew that he was the Son of God at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
I look at this and I look at his life and I could make an assumption that he didn't really know that he was the true Son of God until the time that he started his ministry, maybe even beyond that. But he was doing what the law had said, love your God with all your heart, mm-hmm. with all your soul, all your strength.
Mm-hmm.
And if he was practicing that, he was going to be sinless.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't know all of the answers yet, and that's what he was so intrigued about mm-hmm. here. He was following the law verbatim to mm-hmm. love God with all your heart
yeah.
and all your soul. So I think that it's possible that he did not know mm-hmm. that he was the true Son of God mm-hmm. at that point in time,
mm-hmm.
even through the temptations. He followed what God asked him to do,
mm-hmm.
and just like we are adopted sons mm-hmm. and daughters,
mm-hmm.
the rules are still the same,
mm-hmm.
but obviously our priorities are still lacking a great deal
mm-hmm.
from the way that Jesus treated. That was Jesus' priority.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
But a couple of verses later, he says, it was necessary for you to be in my Father's house.
That's right. And
they were the ones that didn't understand when he said that.
Let's talk about that for a minute. There's this theological concept that God has a calling on your life. Every person whom God saves, he calls. The scripture says that. We are the called out of God. Now, does God have a plan for your life?
Yes.
Did God call out Jesus? Did the Father call out the Son for a specific calling?
Yes.
Yes.
Sure did.
Did he give him the necessary equip? There's a saying, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So at this time, Jesus was being equipped.
Yes.
With the knowledge he needed. It doesn't say in the scripture whether he knew at this point he was that he was the Messiah of Israel or not. I personally suspect he did.
I did too.
Yeah. But here's the deal.
Because his mother knew that.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, Mom was talking to her child.
Yes.
From the time he could.
Yes. Yes. The angel Gabriel told Mary, this is the guy. This is the Messiah. Guess what, Mary? You get to bear the Messiah. He'll sit on the throne of his father David. Okay? Now here's for extra credit. When has Jesus ever sat on the throne of David? The throne of his father David. Remember the Davidic covenant where God came to David and he said, you will have a descendant on the throne forever. That's like forever, you know, like
no.
Forever, right? Okay, when has Jesus ever sat on the throne of David? The answer is not yet, right? Mm-hmm. Not yet. The story's not finished yet, okay? You read and then you go all the way to the end of the book and you'll find out how it turns out in Revelation, okay? And Revelation is a book that we oftentimes neglect. It's down through the history of the church, we've neglected it. But Jesus actually, did y'all, for extra credit, another extra credit question, did Jesus personally dictate to a scribe any epistles, letters? Yeah. The answer is yes, right? Okay, where are they? Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, right? The seven letters to the churches.
Oh, okay.
That's Jesus dictating to John seven epistles, right? They're short, but they're there, okay? And some people believe that the actual the seven epistles, the seven letters to the churches that Jesus Christ himself dictated to John to write down for our benefit actually shows the character of the church down through the church age. It's really kind of interesting if you study that. Now, I don't have time to go into all that because we need to get back to the lesson. But anyway, here's Jesus. He's 12 years old. He's been taught by his mother Mary that he's the Messiah. He's probably known, and he trusted Mary. He had a good relationship with Mary, and Mary got the directions direct from God. So I think at this point he probably does know that. Now, as a 12-year-old boy, we know in human development, you're not really able to start doing some high-level abstracting until you're about 14 or 15 years old. Okay? That's why high school doesn't occur till 14. But, you know, Jesus, you know, all bets are off on Jesus. He probably could do that already. Okay? What's that?
A bunch of us never did do any of that.
I'll make you brother.
No, that's not true. That's not true. If you can ask a question like he just asked a while ago, then y'all understand that.
Okay. Another thing I thought was interesting is that when they went back, it took them 3 days to find him.
It's 3 days. 3 days. Yeah, let's read that next. Yeah, remind me to go on to the next one here. Who wants to read that next reading there?
When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Why were you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be in my father's house? But they did not understand what he said to them.
My mom and daddy call that backtubbing.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I'm sure Jesus gave them great respect, okay? But he also said, now, wait a minute. You guys, there was a lack of faith on your part to be worried about me. Didn't you know I'm supposed to be here in the temple teaching? Mary, didn't you understand I'm the Messiah? The angel Gabriel told you I was the Messiah.
It's almost like he could have used the same phrase, it's not about you. Hers was a mother, I think.
Yeah.
A mother's.
Yeah.
Right. Concern
yeah.
On it.
Right. Yeah, mother's in here.
It's not about you.
Mother's in here. Have you ever lost a child for 3 days? You'd be worried sick, wouldn't you? Can you imagine that?
You want to.
Well, no. That's not true. Even children that are a little bit strong-willed, we'll call them, we would still worry if we lost them for 3 days. Okay. Well, I mean, minor children, when they're out of the house, who cares? You know. I mean, you still love them, but you don't really know where they are. I mean, it's like our son calls his mother like probably once a month, right? She ends up calling him. Now, daughter, she calls every day. She texts every day because daughters are just like that. You know, they're women and women communicate, but men don't. You know, so. anyway, so, but, yeah, Jesus is 12 at this point, so he's still a minor child, even though he's had his bar mitzvah. So they come back, they're worried about him, and Jesus said, wait a minute. Let me give you the David Barr paraphrase here. He's saying, look, guys, I know y'all are really worried about me, but you know what? I'm having so much fun here, and I didn't deliberately not come with you. I'm just so engaged with these guys and having so much fun here, and we're talking about, can you imagine what they covered in 3 days? I mean, we can have a conversation here. Y'all gave me 40 minutes, and I'm gone all over the place, right? Can you imagine where you could go in 3 days? I mean, you could cover a lot of stuff in 3 days. Yes, Ann.
Well, and I also think just because of what the other comments that have been said, is that, you know, if he had just gone through bar mitzvah, he is an adult now.
Yeah, technically.
So this may be, like you said, this may be Jesus saying, okay, we're turning a page here. You know, I'm entering the next portion of my ministry as an adult. Mm-hmm. You know, the next page, mm-hmm. and things are going to start unfolding differently. Mm-hmm. He's no longer a child. Mm-hmm. He's still obedient, mm-hmm. and respectful. But it seems to me like perhaps he's saying, okay, you know, mm-hmm. as an adult, fully an adult now, mm-hmm. I have this responsibility that I didn't have mm-hmm. before my bar mitzvah. Mm-hmm.
Page 48 says, the custom was for families to travel in groups for safety, with the men separate from the women. Perhaps this explains why the young Jesus was misplaced. Maybe Mary assumed he was with the men, while Joseph thought he still might be traveling with the women. At 12 years of age, he could have been with either group. Perhaps his parents thought he was with one of the other family members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there you go.
That's right. There you go.
Well, three days, the first day he was missing was the travel day. Yeah.
They traveled out one day.
And second day traveled back.
They traveled back one day.
And they looked for him for a day.
And they looked around for him for third day.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you wonder, hey, if he just stayed at the temple 24/7.
That's what I was thinking. Did he just sleep there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where did he go at night?
Yes. Sure. Yeah.
Or he may have taken refuge with one of the rabbis.
Hey, listen, here you go. People had clothing. They could also be tents. I mean, they had some outer clothing that they could lay down and cover up with and go to sleep. We see that with Boaz in Ruth, in the book of Ruth. He sat down. He just laid down in the field on some straw, and he was covered all the way to his feet with the cloak he had on, okay? And, of course, Ruth came along as custom and uncovered his feet, and that was the whole deal.
That was before fire ants, though.
Well, that was when you knew where the fire ants were, and you avoided the fire ants.
Oh, that was quick.
But anyway, let's read the third reading, and then we'll wrap this up. Who wants to read that?
But then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with people.
That's right. In favor with God and with people. Okay, so what are the turning points in a young man's life when he's Jewish? He's born. On the eighth day, he's circumcised. When he's 12 years old, he bar mitzvahs. Now he's an adult male. For extra credit, what age does he have to be to join the priesthood? To be an intermediary between God and men. Back then, before Jesus rose from the dead, you had to have a high priest, in this case. When was a young Jewish man eligible to be a priest? What age? Would you say 30?
Mm-hmm.
If you said 30, you'd be right, okay? 30. 30
when
years old.
He started his ministry too?
Exactly. 30. Exactly. Perfect. Very good. That's when Jesus started his ministry, when he became eligible to be a priest. Now, was in Jesus in a priestly line? Was he in the line of Aaron?
No.
No. He wasn't
a Levite.
He wasn't a Levite, right?
Right.
Okay. But he's a priest. Isn't he? He's our high priest,
he's
right?
He's our high priest.
He is our high priest. According to the order of
Melchizedek.
He's a Melchizedekian priest, right? Okay. Hebrews. You read Hebrews, you'll find out. Hebrews talks all about Jesus' priesthood. And why does Hebrews talk about Jesus' priesthood? This is written to the Hebrews. That's why the name of the book is called Hebrews. Okay? And that's why the author, who I personally believe is Paul, didn't sign it. Because there were so many Hebrews that didn't like Paul. They felt like he was a traitor. He left the Jewish faith and became Christian. He became Messianic. He was a Messianic Jew, basically, we call him. Yeah, which is really Christian. I mean, you know, let them hang on to Messianic Jew if they want to call themselves Messianic Jew. They're really Christian. I mean, you know, if you believe in Christ, you're Christian, okay? Adam and Eve are Christians, all right? I believe that Jesus was there in the garden, and Adam and Eve were Christians, so that's okay. But anyway, don't insult your Jewish friends. Just kind of go along with them. Tell them about the Lord Jesus, but don't tell them they're going to become a Christian. Tell them they're going to become a, if they can't stand it, you know, tell them that you can just be a Messianic. You can just believe the Lord Jesus Christ is your Messiah, okay? And that's what we see here. Lord Jesus Christ is the Jewish Messiah, and so that's a little glimpse that Luke gives of the Lord's life. Why do y'all, now I'm going to ask you an interesting question. Why do y'all think there's not many details about Jesus' early life?
Well, he wasn't in his priesthood. He wasn't in the priesthood.
It's because it doesn't matter that much, right? I mean, we know from little snippets that he grew up and, you know, and all that stuff. He was a carpenter. It's possible even they own a construction company. He even may have been an architect. He may have been able to draw out drawings of a house and be supervised the construction crew, you know? I mean, it's possible. I don't know how they did it back then. We don't know that, a lot of details, but we know that he was the son of a carpenter, and he practiced that trade. Men would learn the trade of their fathers and be passed down for generations, and they would specialize that. That was their calling. Their trade calling would be to do that. So, anyway, this is a great little interesting look into the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, age 12 years old, and it should help us emphasize to us on this day when we're voting on a student and family pastor how vitally important it is to have that ministry. That's the most important ministry. As far as salvation goes, it's the most important ministry in our church. Most important. Because statistically, we know that the vast majority of people make a decision for Christ before they get out of high school. That doesn't mean you can't be saved after high school. I mean, there's probably some people in this room who got saved after high school. That's okay. But most people, statistically, make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ somewhere between early childhood and 20 years old, say. I'm just going to pick a number, 18 or 20 or whatever. So student and family ministry is absolutely vital. And there are children in our student and family ministry life. Speaking of children, right on cue, girl. Let's go. There are children in the ministry of the student and family ministry pastor. They're going to be asking questions about God. That's how they learn, right? Just like the Lord Jesus Christ when he was 12 years old. He was asking questions. So pray. Pray that Lord will provide us with who he wants us to have. And that the church would be open to the guidance of the Holy Spirit as we vote. This is the true vote, okay? This is the true... We have a congregational system where we vote on stuff, okay? But make sure your vote is guided by God. If your vote, if a church, you can have a church that's democratic and votes and they mess up if they're not listening to what God's telling them to vote for, the way we should vote. Okay? Now, all of us in here, the saved, we have the Holy Spirit. We know how to listen to the Holy Spirit. If you are not well practiced at that, then get some practice, okay? But nobody in here has that problem. I know that all y'all are mature believers. And we should let the Holy Spirit guide us. And also, just remember that if you want to know what's in a man's heart, listen to what he says. That guy was good this morning, wasn't he? He was good. He was good. I voted yes. Oops, secret ballot. Oh, okay. I just revealed myself, but anyway.
You've been so secretive up to this point.
But anyway, we should pray that this is the right decision, this is the right man, and that he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit to teach our children like Jesus was being taught by the elders here. And, of course, he was the Son of God, so he was teaching them, too. He's probably saying to them, y'all ever read in Daniel? I know I'm going over time, but y'all started me late, so here we go. Y'all ever read in Daniel where it says the Messiah's going to come in 188,770 days from the second degree of Artaxerxes Longinus to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem? Y'all ever heard that?
No.
Yeah, that's the triumphal entry. It's the 70 weeks of Daniel. It's a timing statement, okay? If they would have understood that, well, intellectually they may have understood it even. Did you know that the Jews at this era purposely put the book of Daniel? They didn't go to the scroll of Daniel. It was way too New Testament for them. Yeah, and they were hung on the law. They didn't understand the law was to lead them to the Messiah, who was Jesus. So, anyway.
Just like it is today. Just like it is today.
Yep. So, how about your unsaved family members and friends? How do we reach them?
Pray.
Give them the gospel.
Pray
that the Holy Spirit would bring them alive spiritually. This boy that started realizing that Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross, we need to pray that this is a true movement of the Spirit of God in his life, that he is actually in the process of becoming a believer. Okay? And take opportunities like that, okay? And be sensitive to them. If you try to go knock on doors, hey, I'm here to give you the gospel, and the guy's sitting there watching, you know, a bad show on TV, and he's drinking his beer and smoking his cigarettes and saying, what are you doing here? I didn't invite you over here. Did the Holy Spirit lead you? I mean, the Holy Spirit could have led you to his door. Yeah, you might give him the gospel. He might accept it, right? But if the Holy Spirit didn't lead you to knock on this guy's door, leave him alone. Don't aggravate him. He's not going to be able to understand what you tell him, right? He's just going to go all like that. Okay, so pray for your family members. Pray for your friends that they would be born again, just like Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, that they would be born again from them, that there would be a spiritual regeneration such that they can understand the gospel. All right. Enough of my soapbox. I'm 10 minutes over, so let's go ahead and close.
Thanks, Dr. John.
And thanks. I got to stop my...